You're listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominey. Out Loud Bible Project is on a mission to read the entire Bible out loud in a conversational and approachable way, so you can recognize your part in this conversation between you and God.
Hey, welcome back to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast. Mike here. Thanks for joining me as we read the Bible kind of like a conversation so that we can find our next best yes in our response to God. And the Bible really does play out like this conversation. It's God's word. He speaks to us through it. He says the word is living and active. And it's just always interesting to me when you come across some Bible passage that you've read before, or maybe never read before, but it is timely, right? It's like, ooh, that's what I needed to hear today. Sometimes it's comforting. Sometimes it's not so comforting, but is an indication of where you need to go, where you need to grow. If you haven't already, I invite you to join my wife, Kelsey, and I over at Next Best Yes podcast, where we have practical conversations about what it looks like to take the Word of God literally. To take God's word at its word. It's not a tagline. I just made that up, but maybe it should be a tagline. That's pretty good. But to take the word of God literally as we lean into responding to God, right? So here at the Out Loud Bible Project podcast, we'll read the word of God straight through. We will get a couple nuggets of something to apply to our life every episode here. That's great. Over at Next Best Yes, we're really looking to see what does it look like if we just have an army of Christians who just say yes to what God wants for their life, even if it doesn't make sense. We know it doesn't make sense often. We know it's hard. And we have practical conversations, and we invite you to join in those conversations and see if there's something that you can do to say yes to God and just hang on for the ride, because, man, if it's a God idea, it's so much better than 100 of our good ideas. And that's what we want to lean into. So that's the Next Best Yes podcast. I invite you to join. But for now, we are here in the Out Loud Bible Project podcast in the book of Numbers. Last episode, we kind of did a brief overview of the first 10 chapters of Numbers. A lot of things we don't need to read word for word here. It's all inspired. It's not all useful all the time. So we did just kind of give a general overview of how the book of Numbers is starting. And again, we are overall following the path of the Israelites as they've left slavery in Egypt and they're headed to this promised land, where God promised them, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. You can call it your very own. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. And this whole process up to this point through Exodus, Leviticus, and now into Numbers is turning these slaves into sons, turning this group of slaves into a nation, into God's people. And the process is long and the process is difficult, but the process is a good one. And they don't always make it easy for themselves, as we'll see here today. So I'm going to read in Numbers 11 through 14 today. Let's do this together. The people were complaining in the ears of Yahweh, and when Yahweh heard it, his anger burned, and Yahweh's fire burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people cried to Moses, and Moses prayed to Yahweh, and the fire abated. The name of that place was called Taberna, because Yahweh's fire burned among them. The mixed multitude that was among them lusted exceedingly, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? Oh, we remember the fish which we ate in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. There's nothing at all except this manna to look at." The manna was like coriander seed, and it looked like bdellium. The people went around, gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in mortars, and boiled it in pots, and made cakes of it. Its taste was like the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. And Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every man at the door of his tent, and Yahweh's anger burned greatly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to Yahweh, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why haven't I found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I bought them out that you should tell me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which you swore to their fathers? No. Where could I get meat to give all these people? For they weep before me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it's too heavy for me. If you treat me this way, please kill me right now if I found favor in your sight, and don't let me see my wretchedness." Yahweh said to Moses, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you. I'll come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit which is on you, and will put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you don't bear it yourself alone. Say to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, and you will eat meat. For you've wept in the ears of Yahweh, saying, "Who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt." Therefore, Yahweh will give you meat, and you will eat. You will not just eat one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out your nostrils and it's loathsome to you, because you've rejected Yahweh who is among you and have wept before him, saying, "Why did we come out of Egypt?" Moses said, "The people among whom I am are 600,000 men on foot, and you said, 'I'll give them meat that they may eat for a whole month.' Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to be sufficient for them? Shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to be sufficient for them?" Yahweh said to Moses, "Has Yahweh's hand grown short? Now you'll see whether my word will happen to you or not." Moses went out and told the people's Yahweh's words, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and set them around the tent. Yahweh came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took of the spirit that was on him, and put it on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did so no more. But 2 men remained in the camp. One of them was named Eldad, and the other was Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were of those who were written, but had not yet gone out to the tent, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses and said, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his chosen men, answered, "My lord, Moses, forbid them." Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all Yahweh's people were prophets, that Yahweh would put his spirit on them." Moses went into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. A wind from Yahweh went out and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side around the camp and about 2 cubits above the surface of the earth. The people rose up all that day and all of that night and all of the next day and gathered the quails. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all out for themselves around the camp. While the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, Yahweh's anger burned against the people, and Yahweh struck the people with a very great plague. The name of that place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, because they buried the people who lusted. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people traveled to Hazeroth, and they stayed at Hazeroth. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. They said, "Has Yahweh indeed spoken only with Moses? Hasn't he spoken also with us?" And Yahweh heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the surface of the earth. I think it's funny here, because who wrote Numbers but Moses? But hey, maybe it was added by someone else later on. Maybe it's just ironic and funny. I don't know, but let's move on. Yahweh spoke suddenly to Moses, to Aaron, and to Miriam. "You three, come out to the tent of meeting." The three of them came out. Yahweh came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the door of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. He said, "Now hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known to him in a vision. I'll speak with him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He's faithful in all my house. With him, I will speak mouth to mouth. even plainly and not in riddles, and he shall see Yahweh's form. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? Yahweh's anger burned against them, and he departed. The cloud departed from over the tent, and behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. Aaron looked at Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, please don't count the sin against us in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Let her not, I pray, be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." Moses cried to Yahweh, saying, "Heal her, God, I beg you." Yahweh said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, shouldn't she be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut up outside the camp 7 days, and after that she shall be brought in again." Miriam was shut up outside of the camp for 7 days, and the people didn't travel until Miriam was brought in again. Afterward, the people traveled from Hazeroth and encamped in the wilderness of Paran. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men, that they may spy out of the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a prince among them." Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the commandment of Yahweh. All of them were men who were heads of the children of Israel. These were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zachar; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Egal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi; of the tribe of Joseph; of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali; of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael; of the tribe of Naphtali, Nahbi, the son of Vophsi. Almost made it. That's Nabi, the son of Vophsi; of the tribe of Gad, Guel, the son of Machi. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent out to spy out the land. Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, "Go up this way by the south, and go up into the hill country. See the land, what it is, and the people who dwell therein, whether they're strong or weak, whether they're few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it's good or bad, and what cities that they dwell in, whether in camps or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it's fertile or poor, whether there's wood therein or not. Be courageous, and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, to the entrance of Hamath. They went up by the south and came to Hebron, and Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. They came to the valley of Eshcol, and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bore it on a staff between two. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol, because the cluster which the children of Israel cut down from there. They returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word to them and to all the congregation. They showed them the fruit of the land, and they told him and said, "We came to the land where you sent us. Surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Amalek dwells in the land of the south. The Hittite, the Jebusite, and the Amorite dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanite dwells by the sea and along the side of the Jordan." Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let's go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it." But the men who went up with him said, "We aren't able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we." They brought up an evil report of the land which they had spied out to the children of Israel, saying, "The land, though we have gone to spy it out, is a land that eats up its inhabitants, and all the people who we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, as so we were in their sight. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "We wish that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in this wilderness. Why does Yahweh bring us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will be captured or killed. Wouldn't it be better for us to return into Egypt?" They said to one another, "Let's choose a leader and let's return into Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were those who spied out the land, tore their clothes. They spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If Yahweh delights in us, then he'll bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against Yahweh. Neither fear the people of the land, for they're bread to us. Their defense is removed from over them, and Yahweh is with us. Don't fear them." But the congregation threatened to stone them with stones. Yahweh's glory appeared in the tent of meeting to all the children of Israel. Yahweh said to Moses, "How long will these people despise me? How long will they not believe in me for all the signs which I've worked among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of you a great nation and mightier than they." Moses said to Yahweh, "Then the Egyptians will hear it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them, and they'll tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They've heard that you, Yahweh, are among this people, for you, Yahweh, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you killed this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of you will speak, saying, 'Because Yahweh was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore to them, therefore he's slain them in the wilderness.' Now, please let the power of the Lord be great, according as you have spoken, saying, 'Yahweh is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and disobedience, and he'll by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and on the fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your loving kindness. And just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now.' Yahweh said, 'I have pardoned according to your word. But in very deed, as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with Yahweh's glory, because all those men who have seen my glory and my signs which I worked in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have tempted me these 10 times, have not listened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers. Neither shall any of those who despised me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with them, and has followed me fully, him I will bring into the land into which he went. His offspring shall possess it. Since the Amalekite and the Canaanite dwell in the valley, tomorrow turn and go into the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea.' Yahweh spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, 'How long shall I bear with this evil congregation that complain against me? I've heard the complaints of the children of Israel, which they complain against me. Tell them, as I live, says Yahweh, surely as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all who were counted of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, who have complained against me. Surely you shall not come into the land concerning which I swore that I would make you dwell therein, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But I will bring in your little ones that you said should be captured or killed, and they shall know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness. Your children shall be wanderers in the wilderness 40 years and shall bear your prostitution until your dead bodies are consumed in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you spied out the land, even 40 days, for every day a year, you will bear your iniquities even 40 years, and you will know my alienation. I, Yahweh, have spoken. I will surely do this to all the evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die.' The men whom Moses sent out to spy the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up an evil report against the land, even those men who brought up an evil report of the land, died by the plague before Yahweh. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of those men who went out to spy the land. Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. They rose up early in the morning and went to the top of the mountain, saying, "Behold, we are here, and we'll go up to the place which Yahweh has promised, for we've sinned." Moses said, "Why do you now disobey the commandment of Yahweh, since it shall not prosper? Don't go up, for Yahweh isn't among you. That way you won't be struck down before your enemies. For there the Amalekite and the Canaanite are before you, and you will fall by the sword because you turned back from following Yahweh. Therefore Yahweh will not be with you." But they presumed to go to the top of the mountain. Nevertheless, the ark of Yahweh's covenant and Moses didn't depart out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites who lived on that mountain, and struck them, and beat them down even to Hormah. Here in these chapters and Numbers, we see a common theme, a thread of complaints, and it's certainly an important reminder for us to not complain about what we don't have or wish to go back to where we came from. Satan always wants us to look back to where we came from, because back there we were enslaved, and that's exactly where he wants us again. He's going to minimize the negative. He's going to maximize the benefits. Oh yeah, back then it was actually not that bad. I remember we had this and this and this. And God is trying to draw you forward into a place where he has freedom for you to live and to prosper. Doesn't mean the way is easy, of course. There could be many obstacles along the way. And when God does make such promises, when he does call us forward, we see another theme here in these chapters, where even Moses was like, okay, great, you'll provide meat for everybody, but how are we going to do that? Do we have enough flocks for that? Are all the fish of the sea going to come and feed all these people? And I love what God said to Moses. He said, do you remember, has Yahweh's hand grown short? What a great phrase. Like, I'm sorry, do you think that I've lost my ability to do what I say I'm going to do? Has Yahweh's hand grown short? In what areas, if you had to be honest and had to admit, what areas of your life do you feel that you doubt the length of God's hand? Do you doubt his reach? Do you doubt his ability to do what's good, to do what's best, to do what he said he was going to do? Has God's hand grown short in your mind? Lean into him. Trust him. And see what he's capable of. Let him blow your mind, even this week. That's the Thinking Out Loud thought for today.
You've been listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominy. When you become a patron of Out Loud Bible Project, you help make the Bible accessible for people who desperately need to know they have a role in this conversation with God. To learn more, visit outloudbible.com and click Support This Project. Thanks for listening.